You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The new government announced a repeal of Aotearoa's smoke-free legislation and regulation of tobacco products, making international news. I spoke to Professor of Social and Community Health at the University of Auckland, Peter Adams, about the influence of the tobacco industry on Aotearoa New Zealand and what needs to happen in order to create unbiased policymaking. Here is that interview. How can we describe the influence of the tobacco industry in Aotearoa on the new government?
Oh, goodness, that's a big one. What we study is the relationship between unhealthy commodity industries such as tobacco, alcohol, gambling and food industry, which are, you know, kind of the big ones in terms of health and well-being. They impact on so many different types of disease and mental health issues and people's well-being generally. And so we're interested in those and how the industry works to promote the consumption, particularly the heavy consumption of these products, because that's where they make most of their money. So the problem is that tobacco industry and alcohol industry get most of their money from people who are addicted, because those who are addicted spend heaps. So one person who's addicted can, you know, you've got a guaranteed reliable income from a person like that. So the industries will invest heavily in finding ways to prevent policies that might impact on the heavy consumption of their product. So that puts us in public health at loggerheads with the industry, because they want to increase the number of people who are drinking problematically, and we want to reduce that. So government's the piggy in the middle. But what the industry does, of course, is invest heavily in trying to influence industry. And there's a variety of tactics which we study, but probably the most important tactic is by forming friendships or forming friendly relationships with decision makers, which primarily are the people in cabinet. And these relationships are built over a long period of time and involve a whole range of things. They include the employment of lobbyists, and lobbyists work at facilitating these relationships between industry people and the government. And so that's what we've been looking at. It's hard to study because all of this happens behind closed doors. Some of it's obviously you can watch in terms of people attending meetings together, but that's really what happens outside meetings, the informal contact, regular contact over long periods of time, where the relationships are built and where the sense of obligation is built. Mm. So for me, it's kind of not surprising that this new government, the coalition, have done things that favour the tobacco industry, and they would have been working on this for quite some time. They would have been expecting to some extent that there will be a change in government. What our research and other places around the world who look into this is they find that industry will target people over a long period of time, maybe over decades, particularly if they see someone as a rising star, likely to be in cabinet influencing health policy. They'll be working to form relationships with those people and for them to feel some sense of obligation towards their interests. I guess we're looking at the general picture, and this is happening as part of a process. What's happened with the new government is sort of symptomatic of something that's going on all the time. Mm.
Has the tobacco industry's influence on Aotearoa informed the government's decision to repeal smoke-free legislation and the regulation of tobacco products, despite successful anti-smoking efforts over the past two decades?
Yes, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, it does speak to how powerful these other processes are. Because we in public health have produced an enormous amount of evidence to show what's effective in terms of reducing consumption of unhealthy products. And despite the evidence, governments continually push for the ineffective methods. So the ineffective methods, is again, which there's been a lot of research on, are the methods that focus on individuals. So the individuals aren't thinking properly, they aren't motivated, they're poorly informed. What governments do over and over is invest in education and awareness programs. The research evidence has been around for 50 years. It's still being produced. It says these are the least effective approaches to take.
What are the most effective approaches?
The most effective approaches are, well, really three main ones: pricing. so increasing the price of a product, availability, so restricting availability in ways that discourage heavy use or regular use, and thirdly is promotion, so it's advertising and social media, etc. So industries, because these are very effective, will invest heavily in trying to block those. And the sort of programs that focus on awareness, on drink driving campaigns, on all sorts, they have very little support because they just focus on the individual rather than the systems and the environment where things are happening. So it's interesting that the same old thing happening again is that Christopher Luxon was talking about education campaigns as an alternative to sorts of pricing and availability, stuff which has really made our tobacco policy so successful. I mean, we have been, it's an amazing success story, and that's been driven primarily by pricing and availability. And to some extent controls over promotion, the things that are effective, and we're living proof of how these approaches can be effective, and they're going back into the dark ages. They're looking at education and awareness programs as an alternative.
Mm.
It is disappointing but not surprising given the extent to which industry invests in forming relationships with policymakers. Of course, I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but we've been interviewing politicians and government people for the last 3 years, and they give us some insights into the customary, into the kinds of practices that go on in terms of relationship forming.
Mm. How do you think this policy will affect Aotearoa moving forwards?
Oh, it's predictable that the drop in smoking that we've witnessed, it's, you know, down to, I think it's like 8% now. We've witnessed a steady drop in the smoking rates over the last 20 years since the Smoke-Free Environment Act. Really, that's been a huge change. And, of course, if they don't look at the pricing and availability measures that they were looking at, particularly the denicotinisation of tobacco and the restrictions on the number of outlets, if we don't look at those, the consumption rates will not drop any further, I would say. There's a big risk that the rates of consumption will start to increase again because the government isn't willing to use the levers they can to work towards smoke-free Aotearoa.
What can be done? How can Aotearoa have this say about this policy?
Well, in terms of what we can do about this, there's several things. Firstly, the lobbying in New Zealand is not, we have very few controls over lobbying. So the lobbyists can be employed to facilitate relationship building as they choose. And we have put very little in place. And in most countries, for instance, have a step-down period between a politician turning into a lobbyist and a lobbyist turning into a politician. That's a really important move. But I think in other things is having a register for lobbyists, having recording lobby the involvement of lobbyists with politicians.
What would be the best way to regulate the influence and the involvement of powerful industries on policy making?
One of the things that really is important, the central thing, is having some form of point of accountability, such as an integrity commission, to monitor and to maintain the integrity of our political systems. Because I guess what we're talking about here is undue influence from one sector of society, which gives them a bigger say than the public in things that affect us. We really need to look at our systems and look at how we prevent industry interests overpowering public interests. Integrity Commission, a point within government that monitors the extent to which corporate power has an overriding say in our policy. I think that's what's really important.
That was Professor of Social and Community Health at the University of Auckland, Peter Adams, speaking to me about the influence of the tobacco industry on Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.